a little bit low on the light today, but
no proper lighting. But we're all good. Welcome to Democrat Republican Walking to a Bar.
Mm-hmm. So tried with the lighting, did not work. But anyway, so like because we have this sign behind us, and I'm wearing this really like incredibly hard going shirt for the Save JC Park, folks. We just thought we'd start off with the most bipartisan issue of
but
our
first,
time.
Welcome to Democrat Republican Walking to a Bar. I am your host, Republican host Sean Hartman, here with my Democrat host.
I'm Dr. Cindy Vanier,
and we are here at Ollie's Pub, where we are getting some news as to potential sale. So we may still get to keep Ollie's, and we'll still be coming here at Ollie's. So fingers crossed there, prayers, thoughts and prayers, of course. But yes, now we've introduced the podcast. We have a sign.
Save JC Park.
So we've talked obviously about Cape Coral issues so right. often on this show. And this has definitely been one of those issues that I've been very thankful has brought Democrats and Republicans together. You know, we can disagree on the national and the state issues, but we love our community. Both parties do. And we have a wonderful park over here, which we've talked about, JC Park. Mm-hmm. Which I hope we can actually get some clips in when we do the clip footage.
Yeah.
Get some clips of JC Park, and then that are very, very beautiful, wonderful park that the city council wants to ruin, wants to completely destroy, quite frankly, put in an amphitheater, put in a restaurant and a bar in the middle of a community park. If you go down the area, it's not a long strip of road, but it's a strip of road. I think it's Beach Parkway, right?
I'm pretty sure
it's Beach Parkway. It's one strip of road, a bunch of apartments and houses. Towards the very end, it's a large group of apartment complex, multi-family housing, mm-hmm. right before the park. It would be ridiculous to put an amphitheater there. The noise pollution alone would bother that community, mm-hmm. which is what many of them are complaining about.
Right.
And just having alcohol there, having it as a destination spot in that one lane road where a bunch of people live, that's a traffic hazard in and of itself. And just, again, that's not what this park is meant to be. It's a naturally beautiful park. It's a park that people go to really find inner peace, I feel. That's why I've gone there many times. I'm sure other people go for a number of reasons. It's family friendly, and they mm-hmm. want to destroy it. So this is one of the things that we talk about. There are areas that we can agree on and areas that we can work together on. And this is one of those. So we definitely want to promote it today.
Yeah, so you can see the website, CCPAC.
Yeah.
And this is a community-driven initiative mm-hmm. that is very bipartisan, that is looking to get signatures on the petition that both include the saving of JC Park and the rescinding of the stipend, which we've also talked yeah. about here, as the city council had taken over the redevelopment agency or the redevelopment board.
They took over the community redevelopment agency. And when they took it over, which was previously an all-volunteer board,
right.
no one got paid. Everyone was just there working because they loved their community. Mm-hmm. City Council took it over, and they're like, oh, wow, I guess this is so much work. Let's pay ourselves double the amount of money yeah. we get paid. So they couldn't do that per the city charter. They can't just raise their salary. It has to be voted on. So they decided to label it a stipend
yeah.
of, I think it's $5,000 or $6,000 for the mayor, $3,300 for the city council members per month, retroactive. So it was passed in December. They got 2 months going into October when they took over the agency. This is the straw that broke the camel's back when it came to the community. What yeah. you really saw within Cape Coral is a lot of people were angry at the city council for different reasons. Even this JC Park issue, it was for quite some time just a regional issue
right.
between those people in that community and near JC Park. And it grew in part because of the stipend, but in general because I think a lot of people love that park.
Yeah.
But you look at the yacht club, you yep. look at the food truck regulations that yep. have hurt our small business owners. You look at sometimes the most simple stuff, like shutting down all those citizens advisory boards, literally yep. saying we don't want to hear from the citizens.
Yep.
So you had all these issues all over the place where people were angry for a number of different reasons. And then the city council goes, you know what would be great? Let's just raise our pay and that'll be fine. And that unified everyone
unified
who was
everybody.
Angry for all these different reasons into like a revolutionary fervor.
Yeah.
It has been, it has been, the city council has done what no labels and all these bipartisan groups could have never done,
right,
which is brought Democrats and Republicans together.
And not only just brought them together, but like cooperating.
Yes, right? Legitimately cooperating. Legitimately. Like this is concerning. This is like something that you do not see. This is, you know, with the amount of anger and hate, which we talk about on this podcast and why we do this podcast, the amount of anger and hate that we have that's on this political spectrum between us, between the parties, it's problematic. And so the fact that we're able to cooperate on this is a very good sign, at least on this type of thing, and just shows that local issues are matter and local issues are not partisan. They are issues that we can all unify on.
And this is why local elections have been, municipal elections have been nonpartisan. But what's interesting is this is actually something that's predictable based on the research and things that I have done. You know, that community level stuff really brings people together.
Yeah.
It is those big kind of, you know, partisan politics, national politics, all this stuff that people get really caught up in that divides us, but our community always brings us back together.
Exactly. And that's why I think it's very important, especially in today's divided politics, to have a much more community minded outlook when it comes to, your political activity.
Right. Well, because everybody wants safe streets, safe homes. They want to feel comfortable. They want a beautiful place to live. They want their kids to be safe.
They want a good community, you know, good parks, good schools, of course, clean environment as well. You talk about, you know, clean. We are a very water-based community with a lot of canals. So clean water actually matters.
Hey, speaking of that, did you hear that blue-green algae has been confirmed in Cape Coral?
I have not heard that yet, no.
For the first time here in 2024, likely related to the Lake Okeechobee releases, which we will be seeing through the end of, or through May here. Started early because we had a lot of big rains earlier this year. Sean just got his sandwich. He's very excited. Don't forget that Ollie's has
Ollie's has a bunch of sandwiches. Fresh too. Made. It's so hot.
So yeah, so this was the first time that the blue-green algae has been seen here for some time. It is fed by nutrients that are being released from Lake Okeechobee. And the news was talking about how, you know, it does have harmful human effects and animal effects. It can have neurological disruption to humans and animals. And so veterinarians were specifically on the news talking to people about if you have small dogs, things like that, that if they're exposed to the blue-green algae, they can have some serious problems.
Oh, wow. So definitely keep your pets away from the blue-green algae.
Yeah.
What does it What does it look like? Like, where is it?
It's like slime. Like, giant, clumpy, green slime.
So stay away from the snot-looking stuff in the water.
Yeah.
That seems like
sometimes it looks like
pretty
wise. Like, stringy bits, if you see, like, the overhead of it.
And it would be up in the river, right?
In the river, that's what it looks like. But in this, what is happening right now is because the nutrients have like been flushed down the river and then down the canals in Cape Coral, it gets stuck in the canals. And then when it gets stuck in the canals, the water, the runoff, the heat build it up. And so sometimes if it's coming just down the river and it flushes out, it doesn't accumulate. It's Cape Coral has the biggest problem with it because of the canals.
Now, I know that they were investing in these, like, bubble curtains. I don't know if that was supposed to have an effect on this. I don't know what you know about that. You have a chuckle for some reason.
Yeah, that's, like, not reasonable thing. It was a solution that was tossed out. But, you know, like, Lake Okeechobee has a ton of blue-green algae in it. It has legacy pollution at the bottom of the lake that was significantly disturbed during Hurricane Ian, which is why we had such a huge blue-green algae outbreak through 2023, and we're still seeing the residual effects of that. I mean, the other things that feed blue-green algae aren't just in Lake Okeechobee. It's actually all the way down the Coosahatchee and even in our own neighborhood. So this is why fertilizer ordinance, which, by the way, the state passed a preemption against fertilizer ordinances last session, 2023. So yeah, that's fun. And then also agricultural runoff, manure, you know, feces. There's a lot of cattle farms between Fort Myers and Clewiston Lake Okeechobee. So there's a significant amount of runoff.
So basically, it's all bullshit.
It's actually bullshit. Yeah. Literal bullshit that is feeding the blue-green algae.
So I was right there.
All right kinds there. Of shit. Oh, and the septic shit. So people shit too. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. I just got my food. Excellent, excellent, excellent food.
Hey, I thought it was a good segue into the session, end of session.
Yeah, we did have the end of legislative session. Obviously, we were just talking.
Seen die.
Yep, seen die. not as productive as previous sessions.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure your side is very happy about. There was a lot of culture war bills that were killed. Yeah. Kathleen Passidomo.
Yeah.
Sort of standing in the breach, stopping all of that as her final act as Senate president.
Yeah.
So I don't think she's going to be running for anything anytime soon. I think that was a pretty clear indicator of that because she's definitely upset a lot of the grassroots Republicans.
Yeah.
But your Democrats, put up a strong fight and were able to put on a defense.
Yeah. So, as from the Democratic perspective, this session wasn't super productive for us, but we were able to mount opposition to some of the major things. So the fetal personhood that Jenna Persons had put forth, that got killed. The total abortion ban got killed. The vote by mail ending got killed. The Confederate monument thing that was put forth by Jonathan Martin killed himself as white supremacist. Yeah, there was apparently, because they were trying to pass it. This was one of the top 10 legislative priorities.
Yeah.
And it was going through like a late night committee meeting. And apparently there was like actual white supremacists sitting in the audience, like throwing signs to people who were part of the committee debates, and that was kind of picked up on, and I was like, hey, so like, is this like a white supremacist bill? And everyone was like and then it died. So it was once it was kind of like got outed, is like
those dang white supremacists ruining it again. You couldn't just stay hidden and let us pass the bill.
If you pass a bill that supports white supremacy, what do you expect? Start coming out. So yeah, but
he's
it was
like texting him after I told you to stay home.
Told you to stand in the hall. But anyway, so that got killed. Most of the major super negative culture war stuff didn't go through. Now, as you may know, I'm an environmental activist. That was much less helpful. Out of all the bills that the Democratic Environmental Caucus of Florida was following, none of the bills that we opposed died. So all of the bad environmental bills passed, including the kill the bears, stopping the bear, whatever. Like, you can stand your ground for bears is like everywhere.
I think you should. You do have a right to bear arms.
Is that what the second
second joke of the day? No.
Right. And then do the bears have the right to bear arms?
Well, of course they do. They have
to bear arms. This has a different connotation in Florida. Anyway, so the kill the bears thing passed. The protections for the Everglades did not pass. So there were two bills that we were supporting, and one was Everglades protections that failed. So unfortunately, that did not go through. And one thing though did go through. There was one environmental win that was actually co-sponsored by Republicans, but originally introduced in the 2023 session by Democrat Jason Pizzo, and that was the releasing of the balloons. So basically making anybody over the age of six who releases balloons purposefully is now criminally liable for those. Yeah. So,
No more releasing balloons. Good to know.
Yeah. So, because it's really bad for the environment. They fall down, the birds get tangled up in it, and it's just, they don't biodegrade and all this jazz. So
I don't know how you enforce that though.
I guess if somebody's doing it on purpose, you can get a ticket or something. It'll be up the administration to figure that out.
For it to be a criminal thing, I can understand maybe a civil infraction.
I mean, it could be a civil infraction. I may be overstepping that.
Yeah, you made it sound like it was criminal. I was like,
they're gonna arrest you. No,
it's like a 7-year-old releases a balloon. Cops come to his
spot. Well, I mean, it was like there was a carve out for kids. So it was like kids, they accidentally release a balloon.
6 and under, you still have 7, 8, 9. You still have enough people. Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to come after little kids. But it's more, some people do it as like a memorial or whatever, graduation or something like that. So it's, I think honestly, the bill itself is more, as a way to educate people to not
no,
do
for
it.
Sure. And I think that it's definitely an education thing, but yeah. I don't know how that's enforceable and if that's really having a government prohibition is probably not the way I would go. But hey, you at least got a win.
We got a win. Okay. It was like a very small win.
You had a very small
win. And the environmental
win for the
side.
Balloons.
But I mean, and again, I'm with you. I'm like,
and finally we could stick it to all those darn birthday industry people.
I know
that.
Down with
that
the birthday, big balloon industry.
Big birthday and big party lobby. Party City must be stopped.
Yeah, so not super great. One thing I'm still trying to figure out, though, is one of the things that we were looking at locally where there was a bill that was sponsored by Anna Botana here and then sponsored in the Senate by Jonathan Martin was a bill that changed the parameters of the Estero Bay Aquatic Preserve. And that was essentially seen by critics as a straight up giveaway to a developer. They're saying, oh, it's restoring it back to blah, 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 the 90s or something. I'm like, listen, I'm somebody who goes through the state records quite frequently, and I'm not entirely sure. It looks like it died in committee, but I'm not entirely sure because it said it got sent to appropriation. So I'm going to find a little bit more information on it. I'm not sure if that bill had to be passed on the floor or if it was something that just got put into the appropriations bill or not. So if it's something that got put into the appropriations bill, it just got slid in and there we go. But
interesting. I did hear something about
it. It's complicated though. I mean, you know, we have a short session here for Florida. It's a 60-day legislative session. They this year it's earlier because of the presidential election. So, you know, what are we're at this today is March 10th. It ended on March 8th.
Yeah.
Committee meetings started in November. So they have like preliminary meetings November, December. Really work begins in January. And then
basically it's committee meetings November, December to basically flush out the bills.
Yep.
And then January, that 60 day between January and March is the actual sessions where people debate, people vote, things actually get done and bills get passed in that 60 day session.
Right.
And then once you're done with when you're done, that's it. Everyone goes back home and then you wait until November to pass more, figure out more bills.
Unless there's special sessions, which we'd had in years past, but I don't think we're going to have special
sessions
this year.
There's nothing really. Ron DeSantis is still licking his wounds from his
Ron DeSantis decided to keep his head down.
He
his presidential
he had like
run.
Three or four special sessions over the past few years because he had to run for president. Now he kind of licking his wounds and is back home and is like, well, there's really no point for me calling a special session now.
He's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I'm termed out. I'm termed out in 26.
I don't want to play. Okay. No. Anyway.
No. Maybe you'll run for like Senate.
Speaking of losers of the presidential primary.
Oh, yes, that's right. Isn't that? Wow.
Nikki Haley finally dropped out.
You're right. Yes, I totally forgot that since our last pod. First off, it's funny because in our last podcast, in case you remember, I did endorse Ryan Binkley. Within a few days, he dropped out. So I was like, wow. Shows how powerful my endorsement is. So anyway, for that reason, I would like to give my strong support.
Yeah, because of you.
Yeah, I was like, maybe so. But clearly my endorsement doesn't hold any weight, which is why today I am going to endorse all the incumbent members of the city council. They are wonderful people. Anyway, my endorsements, what I'm trying to say is my endorsements don't matter, apparently. Because Ryan Binkley apparently saw my endorsement and says, I guess I can't really win. Sean's so unpopular. No, but he dropped out. And then, of course, Nikki finally dropped out after only winning Vermont in Super Tuesday. So D.C. and Vermont, the two most liberal areas, is what Nikki wins.
Yeah, it was never really in the cards.
Obviously didn't endorse Trump. I do like what she said. I think she made a fair point that Trump has to try to earn her supporters. Trump does not want to earn her supporters, as he said many times, which is a problem because we kind of need them to vote for us.
They can always vote for Democrats.
Yeah, good job. Yeah, see, the Democrats.
Come on over. There's plenty of room, big tent, you know.
Exactly. See, this is Trump is being an idiot by doing this, by not wanting to bring in Nikki Haley supporters, because politics, as we both know, is about addition. And if he's not willing to add these people who are traditional conservative Republicans, we're going to have a uphill battle with winning. I mean, it's already going to be a close race as it is. We need every vote we can get. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty dumb decision for what is effectively 25% of the Republican vote.
Yeah. I mean, she shaved off a pretty fair amount in the end, but
she did, yeah.
You know,
I was. Did you also see the American Samoa guy winning?
Oh yeah.
There's some random venture capitalist.
Hey, good job, buddy. Good job. I mean, clearly he had a lock on American Samoa.
All 60 people. There's 60 people at that caucus.
Oh my goodness. So the thing I think is going to be the most detrimental for Trump not trying to bring in the Nikki Haley voters is that this election is going to be about turnout. That's what has been said since the beginning of this cycle, that there's very low enthusiasm for a Trump versus Biden.
It's going to be a margins. It's going to be a margin call, quite frankly, because you also have a lot of third party people running in. I don't know if you also saw No Labels had announced they are going to be running a candidate. Under the No Label.
But running a candidate that nobody knows doesn't do shit.
Yeah, exactly. But the point
like
is,
some rando guy between, who was lieutenant governor in Georgia.
Yeah, Jeff Davis is the
cares.
Person. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like that's like they would have had a better shot if Manchin or Cornell West.
Honestly, yeah. But that's the point. Here's the thing.
Because it's stupid.
Here's the point of all of this, though. Okay, you have like whoever's the No Label candidate is going to be. This Jeff Davis probably. You got RFK.
Something Duncan.
Jeff Duncan with a G. Jeff with a G. G off Duncan. So he's one of those Republicans who is
like the Toys R Us.
He's like
Jeffrey
the Brad.
The
yeah. Anyway. So you got that. You got RFK. You got Cornell West. You got the Libertarians who are going to put someone up. You got Jill Stein with the Green Party. You got this handful of people who are running on third party spots that people can vote for that won't be voting for Trump or Biden. It's not about that who is it that's possibly going to win. None of them are going to win. It's all about who are they going to pull from. So it's really going to be who's on the margins that are not going to vote for either candidate. And both sides need to be thinking about how do we secure those margins up? How do we lock those margins down?
I don't think Trump cares too much for margins.
Trump definitely doesn't. And it's going to be difficult for us. And it's going to be difficult now even further because his handpicked leadership team is in place.
Daughter-in-law
and Michael
Wattley.
The
Republican,
My big concern, I will say my biggest concern is that they're going to use party funds to help his legal cases.
Of course they are.
Yeah, which I don't think should not be the role of the RNC. I'm definitely not going to be donating to the RNC for the time being. You know, you're right, but you're right.
I mean, what is Laura Trump's credentials again other than blowing his son?
Okay.
I mean, does that get you up in the Trump hierarchy? I bet you it does.
Clearly. I mean, Jared Kushner was like in charge of everything.
He was blowing a lot of people to get his way.
Okay. Anyway. But yeah, so the point is that this is very bad campaign strategy and it's not going to help us. It's going to hurt us and it's going to help her side. So she's happy. I'm sure she's happy.
I'm good. We saw old Joey B get a fiery
State of the Union. It was a very good campaign speech. I'll give him that. It was a very good campaign speech. No, it was. Look, he was very aggressive. He went hard on Trump, which finally he's starting to do, which is what his political people have been telling him to do.
Right.
I will say, and I will give him credit where credit is due, with the industrial policy stuff, with the CHIPS Act, mm-hmm. him highlighting that, I think that is probably the best thing he has done for our country in his term. I'm not a fan of everything else, but just having a focus on bringing industry and bringing jobs back. And this is something that Republicans are finally starting to talk about too, because for the longest time, the Republicans have been so market focused that, you know, private sector creates jobs, government doesn't create jobs. And so there was never any talk about industrial policy. Mm-hmm. And so we have people now like Marco Rubio who are starting to discuss these issues and Biden. You know, I will give him credit. This was something that he really focused on and was able to succeed in getting at in his first term. So I give him kudos for that. Everything else, but he was energetic. It's clear that was his cocaine that they found.
The old man nailed it. Come on now. Yeah, whatever gets you and me through the day, right? Yeah. Like,
he got Hunter's booger sugar.
Look, and then guy just probably has a lot of like Metamucil or something. Get that good fiber going.
Oh my
But listen, like, you know,
yeah, what were your, yeah,
my takeaways were, yeah, that he was fired up. He did a good job of highlighting. He was, you know, punching back at some extremely rude congressional members who were shouting at him during the speech, including one thing that the Democrats and particularly progressives were hammering him on was that that he, you know, he repeated basically what Marjorie Taylor Greene said, calling the person who had murdered Laken Riley an illegal. And he was at the time, I believe, repeating what she said. And he was widely criticized for that. And I understand, but it was a very impromptu moment.
And honestly, I will say this. I think it was good that he did it. I was very impressed that he responded because what they were trying to get, what were Marjorie and all of them were saying, say her name, say your name. He butchered the name, which is an entirely different thing. But look,
he gave it a try.
You know what? Up until like the second half, he didn't really glitch out, and he only glitched out a couple of times. So I give him credit. So, but
keep in mind, he is fighting with the stutter. So I think most of the things where
I think that too.
It was a stutter thing that you heard.
But he mentioned it, and he mentioned the issue, and then he spun it back to, well, then pass this dang bill. So yeah, I'm sorry. I think he won that round.
Won
that round. I will give him that. He, you know, that's what we wanted him to do, to say the name and to acknowledge it, which he did. So congratulations. So it's kind of a win for us, too, because we got what we wanted.
I mean, okay. But Joe Biden, no Democrat, no president is going to say, oh, okay, that person who died, that's fine. Like, that's not, no, he's going to say, look, that was a tragedy.
Yeah.
But his point was, and the truth of the matter is that more people who are American citizens kill people in this country.
Yep.
There's not a disproportionate amount of undocumented people who are committing crimes. And in fact, a disproportionate amount of people who are undocumented are the victims of crimes. Mm-hmm. So that's really the truth. And he said that, and that is important too, right? So yes, we acknowledge the women who died and was attacked and it was horrible, but does that mean that we should shut down the borders? No, it doesn't. Like it's there are terrible things that happen all the time. And that's why we need good governance and good policy to react to that. Mm. But just because we take one story, one anecdote, you don't build policy off that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Obviously it's an anecdotal narrative that, you know, Republicans do this. I mean, both sides do this quite a bit too, but I know Republicans have definitely been doing this with the border security where they'll pinpoint a single instance of,
Speaking of which, it's what Senator of Stephen or whatever her name was, Britt, Senator.
Katie Britt.
Katie Britt. I don't know what her
That was her entire thing. That was her entire thing.
She gave her rebuttal to the State of the Union in the kitchen, standing where she should be.
Yes,
as
exactly.
As a good woman.
Exactly.
She was standing in the kitchen making me a sandwich.
Exactly.
And brought up a really horrendous case of a woman being gang raped and sold for, you know, sex trafficked, but it was in Mexico City in 2000.
Yeah.
And so she was criticized for that, saying, look, this happened, I think it was 2002. So I think it happened.
Yeah. It would be under Bush.
During Bush's administration, and trying to blame and connect that to Biden is really unfair when it comes to narratives. What do you?
So here's what I'll say about Katie. And
are you getting like live tweets?
No, I need to. Something's come up, if you will. But I will say this, and then I have to get going for a minute. But what I will say is, Katie was very aggressive, which is definitely the mood of our Republican Party right now, and it really got me thinking about Ronald Reagan and his optimism, and that's the party that I long for again. And that is not the current party we have now. And with that, I actually have to go use the restroom. So I will let Cindy shut this down. This has been Democrat and Republican walking to the bar.
And he's got to walk to the toilet. All right. So thank you. Yeah, we'll cut it short for today. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Our Republican host, Sean Hartman, is holding it in because, he just realized that Reagan wasn't all that optimistic and he had to go relieve himself. No, I'm kidding. So Sean is taking care of business, and I've been your Democratic host, Dr. Cindy Banier. Thank you so much for joining us here today. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to come and join us in studio, we always appreciate that. Otherwise, you can get a subscription to the show to let us keep going here. You can check out all of our shows at bigmouthmediafl.com. And you can get this show for $4.99 a month or $19.99 a month for all of our shows combined. Thank you so much for joining us here today. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.